Hello, this is Matt Slick from the Matt Slick Live podcast, where I defend the Christian faith and lay out our foundations of the truth of God's Word. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Coming to you from an entrenched barricade deep in the heart of Central North Carolina. Masculine Journey After Hours, a time to go deeper and be more transparent on the topic covered on this week's broadcast. So sit back and join us on this adventure. The Masculine Journey After Hours starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey After Hours. We're in the middle of one of our favorite weeks of the year. It's the immediately after boot camp edition of the Masculine Journey, where we're talking about our favorite moments, our favorite clips, what God kind of did that weekend, or God did do that weekend, that kind of did what God did do that weekend, and what He's continuing to do. And so we have a lot of different approaches to it. You know, it's clips that we used at camp sometimes. Sometimes it's songs. Sometimes it's clips we didn't use, but it makes the point. And so it's always interesting to see where God's going to take us on this. And so one of the most interesting to see where it goes is David, because David's up next. And so, David, why don't you tell us a little about your clip?
So I went on the Bagger Ranch train, and this clip is set up where him and Junior stand in the woods. It's towards the end, and he's if you haven't seen the movie, like Robbie said, I definitely suggest going out and seeing it. It's Bagger's more of a God figure in this movie, and he's talking to Juno in the woods, and basically what he's saying is just let it all go and lay it down and just trust in him what he's saying. So we'll listen to the clip and then we'll come back and talk about it.
You gonna be wanting a different club there, Juno?
I can't do this.
Hey, you might should just loose your grip up a smidge. You know, a man's grip on his club just like
it's
a man's
not what
grip
I'm talking
on.
About
I know.
No, you don't.
What I'm talking about is a game. A game that can't be won. Only played.
You don't understand.
I don't need to understand. And a soul on this entire earth ain't got a burden to carry. He don't understand. You ain't alone in that. But you've been carrying this one long enough. Time to go on. Lay it down.
I don't know how.
You got a choice. You can stop, or you can start.
Start?
Walking.
Where?
Right back to where you always been, and then stand there. Still. Real still. And remember.
It's too long ago.
Oh, no, sir. It was just a moment ago. Time for you to come on out the shadows, Juno. Time for you to choose.
I can't.
Yes, you can. But you ain't alone. I'm right here with you. I've been here all along.
You know, we watched that. I believe we watched that on Friday night, right?
Friday night, yeah.
Yeah. And so I actually had my first talk at this boot camp on Saturday for the Stages of the Masculine Journey for the Warrior Talk. And right before it, I was extremely nervous, as I typically get before any responses. And this time being a talk, I kind of felt pressure, you know, not from anybody, but just myself. And I was sitting out in the outdoor stage just praying all the way up before it during the Covenant of Silence that was right before it. And just couldn't shake it. And finally, I remember looking up at the sun and just hearing God's voice come down and say, "What are you nervous about, David? You're just going to be up there with me. It's just going to be me and you talking." And I said, "Okay, cool, we'll do that." Well, I wasn't, just like Bagger said to Juno, "You're not alone, I'm here with you." Well, God was telling me that. But not only that, even more so, I was there with my band of brothers the entire time doing it. So it was a great experience all around weekend. I mean, it definitely felt it going into this boot camp. It was, God had the campers that He wanted there with us this weekend, but it really was impactful to the team.
Yeah, thank you, David. Mm-hmm. One of the things I thought's interesting was five of our clips, including the bump in the last show, is one of those clips, as I included in there. So four clips in the bump. came from things that weren't scheduled to be at the boot camp. Mm-hmm. You know, we all had our clips. We all had things we planned to do. And then Robbie on Friday said, I think I want to watch Bagger Vance tonight. And so, you know, we couldn't find it. And we ended up renting it so we could watch it. And so we watched it. And so three of the clips came from Bagger Vance. Two we've heard. One we'll hear a little bit later. And then on Saturday, the guys had actually voted to see another movie. And I went, no, we're going to watch this one instead, because I didn't want to watch the other movie, really, and I wanted to watch this one. And so we watched Wild Hogs, and it was interesting how God knew what we needed to hear, even when we had no clue, even through the simple thing of a movie that impacted us. Mm-hmm. You know, and hearing these things so many times, just like in the clip you just played, where Bagger says there ain't a soul on this earth that doesn't have a burden to carry he don't understand. There's so many times I need to remember that, because I get so wrapped up in my burdens. You know, I think no one else can relate, but they all have them. Everybody does. You know, and there's things that happen in our life that we don't understand. And we may never get the answer to on this side of heaven, right? Or even on the other side. I don't know. It may not matter at that point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but God understands, and that's what matters. And so those things, those silly things like movies that speak to your heart, God's got a moment there for you. He's got something he's trying to tell you if you just dig in and say, okay, God, why? Why that clip? Why that scene? Why this piece? Why is that speaking to my heart?
My wife and I used to go to movies a lot, and she's always looking for God in movies. Mm-hmm. And with one exception, she's always found him, and we've talked about it afterwards, said, yeah, God was in that.
So Princess Bride was the exception?
No, it would actually be a surprise to you. I'll give you a hint. She finally decided that God might have been the volleyball.
Oh yes. I know what you're talking about. Castaway, yes. God was present when I was watching Princess Bride, because I kept praying for it to be over. Just joking, Jim. It's a pretty good movie. Danny, you're up next.
Oh, yeah. My clip is from Secondhand Lions, and this is the second Secondhand Lions, so it's Secondhand Lions Squared, I think.
That's true.
Yeah, so, but it's the final scene, and if you hadn't seen the movie, great movie, and the scene is Hub and Garth have been killed in a plane crash. In a biplane upside down in a barn, because that's just who these guys were. And to watch the movie and their nephew, who they have raised, is there. He's grown. And, you know, what's happening is a helicopter flies in. It's what you'll hear in the beginning. And there's an interchange between a guy whose grandfather had encountered Hub and Garth early in his life. And they took some of his fortune. And what you can't see because it's radio is that they'll show a yacht sitting out in a little pond, and he says, spent my grandfather's gold well, I see. But what the phrase is at the end is what we'll talk about, but just listen to what their interchange at the end says, and then we can talk about it.
It's okay. Come here, buddy. Come here. Look at this. Look at this. Forgive me. We were in Houston when we heard their names on the news and always just had to come. When I was a boy, my grandfather told me such stories.
Your grandfather?
Very wealthy sheik. He used to love to tell me stories about his wild youth. I mean, amazing. Unbelievable stories all about two brothers, Hub and Garth McCann, the most valiant and brave men, huh? He called them his most honored adversaries. The only men who ever outsmarted me. Wait, so you knew these two men?
They raised me.
It's an honor.
Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you. Wow. Aha. Well, see, they spent my grandfather's gold wisely.
Yeah. Well, there was this one traveling salesman.
So, the two men from great-grandfather's stories, they really lived?
Yeah. They really lived.
You know, Advanced Boot Camp to me was kind of somewhat like a family reunion, because most of the campers that came in, and of course, you know, I always grin when we all show up. Now, we see each other every week, mm-hmm. but when we show up to boot camp, it's, hey, man, how you doing? And but it is like a family reunion. And but to say that is that, you know, that little boy said, you mean they really lived? And he says, yeah, they really lived. And the heart and soul behind the message of Wild at Heart and the Masculine Journey is, you know, when your heart begins to come alive and you begin to really live. And, you know, to see guys returning that we've seen at previous boot camps and see how they've begun to really live. Mm-hmm. And to see how this team and to hear the history of the team and the ministry and realize that because men chose to really live, it impacted other lives. So I don't think there's anybody on planet Earth that can say that their life doesn't impact somebody else's. You know, sometimes in negative ways, in positive ways. But, you know, I mean, you guys have stuck out, you know, particularly the guys who've been around longer than us that stuck through some thick and thin stuff and you really lived. Mm-hmm. And thus, here we are today talking about, you know, David's first talk. We're talking about, you know, the different stuff and really coming alive simply because somebody chose to live. And that to me was what I walked away from for the most part. I walked away with lots of different things, and we don't really have enough time. It'd be pillars after pillars. but the reality of the fact is that, you know, everybody matters. And you should never go through life thinking you don't matter, because somebody somewhere is going to say, yeah, he really lived.
That's awesome. Thank you, Danny. Jim?
Something hit me in that, and as I was that was an accident. Those guys reminded me of Ricky Korn. I think in 25 years I could see him upside down in a barn. And he's famous for the expression, I've seen some things. But I just, you know, he is a guy that really lives. Mm-hmm. And he does it his own way. And now Robbie, who knows him best.
I almost feel like the listeners were cheated in the first show not to hear why Andy picked the clip that he picked. Because I know why he picked the clip. He picked the clip because of a story that Korn lived, and I lived it with him because we happened to go to Jamaica on a mission trip. That's where I met Ricky. And the story goes...
Oh, the one Rodney picked.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the one Rodney picked, not the one Andy picked.
Okay. Let's blame it on Andy anyway.
Rodney picked it, but the story behind it was just so cool. So we're stopping at a Burger King at about 3 o'clock in the morning because we just flown in, you know, to Jamaica. And the leader of the group is very, very thorough about this is what you do, and you don't give anybody any money, you don't take anything, whatever you do, do not give anybody any food. Is that completely clear? And everybody's like, yeah, that's completely clear. And so we all go in and we get our food, and this is as much of the story as I knew, is we walked out and we all see Korn giving this guy some food, right? And we get in the van. And the leader of the group that brought us, he unloads on Ricky. I mean, he just tears into him like there's no tomorrow. And Ricky just sat there. And what I remember of it was Ricky just was going to give that guy some food, and that's all I knew of the story. Well, here we are, I don't know what it is, 5 years, 6 years later, that Ricky is explaining the story again, and I hear an aspect to it that I never heard. That when he came out of the restaurant that night with his food, here's this guy in the trash, and he's going through the trash trying to find food, and he's taking the different cups of drinks, and he's mixing them together into one drink until he could get, you know, a drink from all these people's trash. And he lifts it up to this guy, and he looks at Ricky, and he says, isn't God good? And he begins to drink this, you know, super Dr. Pepper or whatever you want to call it, suicide thing. And Ricky is like, man, you need this more. And so, you know, but that night in the van, he didn't defend himself because he didn't have to. Right? He knew what God had told him to do, and he did what God led him to do, and that was Ricky's heart. And, you know, for me, that's a story at boot camp I'll never, ever forget because I didn't know the story until I knew the story.
Real quick about Ricky Korn, the thing we've talked about is gift-giving, and he's got a real gift from God with that because he finds things, and it could be any kind of thing. I always think about the stone he gave your brother Mark. And he didn't know Mark at all, but he finds things, and then when he sees the person, he knows that's who it belongs to. And it's some true God moments. I mean, I had one with him this weekend, but I mean that's just a gift that Ricky Korn has. If you judge a book by its cover, you will miss a great read, I'm telling you.
Well, Art, we are off to your clip now. You want to tell us a little bit about your clip?
Yes, my clip is from the beginning of the movie, Wild Hogs. It kind of foreshadows the rest of the movie. It's about riding motorcycles. It's about freedom. In the clip, you hear a song, and you hear bikes revving, and the theme of the movie really was, or for me, the major theme was that we can lay our burdens down and find our freedom. And in this movie, the group was seeking their freedom by going on a motorcycle ride together to California. They were escaping things. One character had a kind of a mundane, boring life that he was seeking to escape. One was going through a divorce and bankruptcy, and he was looking for a freedom from that. And it is something that that God has put in all of us, innate desire to be free and to be in a state of freedom. And that's what the movie was about. The Bagger Vance character was attempting to lay down the burden of the trauma that he had received in the war, so that and that had ruined his golf game, and he was trying to get it back, and he was successful in that. And while God has put in us an innate desire to be free, he is also giving us freedom through him. He's given us a path to freedom to lay our burdens down. I do have a verse that I'd like to read now. It's, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's 2 Corinthians 3:17. And I was going to say, personally, a few years ago in my retirement, I thought that I might get a motorcycle and go riding, but my sister advised me against that, as it is a kind of dangerous thing to do. You can get, and I didn't, and it turns out that was a good decision to not do that. I do have a four-wheeler that I ride every evening with my dogs, or my dogs usually run beside me. But it's pretty much my favorite time of day to go ride my four-wheeler and with my dogs. And there's a sense of freedom and leaving everything behind. So we'll go ahead and play the clip now. And
okay, here we go.
Give me
Yeah, he runs into the sign there. Well, thank you. Well, let's go ahead.
Harold used to be a wild hog himself. He talked in the pre-show hour about enjoying riding a bike and the freedom that came with it. And also, when he quit riding, he said it was the right decision to quit riding at that time. But it is something we don't actually have to all go out and buy a motorcycle. We can have our freedom through the Lord. We can have our freedom through we have these aids, movies and music that we can listen to, and we can be free. We have our friends, our group, that our brothers that we can, and sisters that we can rely on to help us along that way, on that path.
Well, thank you. Well, now we get down to my clip, which is the longest clip.
Here we go.
I know.
Did you go through this whole clip?
Yeah, I know. Well, just hold
bear
on.
Bear with you.
Yeah, bear with it. It'll be over eventually. No, it's a very short clip, and I'm just going to play it and then come back and tell you why I chose it. It is from Bagger Vance, and what's happening is Bagger, which is the Holy Spirit, Jesus kind of character in the movie, is looking out at some bright, sunny skies, and he makes this statement. And let's go ahead and come back and talk about it after that.
Sure is some storm a brewing.
Right, and so we're watching that movie, and this is after I had to talk on suffering. I didn't, when we did the advanced boot camp, we kept with the talks that we did at the previous advanced boot camp. You know, that's what we decided we were going to do. And I did suffering last spring. And when you're doing the suffering talk, there are two different types of suffering. There's avoidable suffering and unavoidable suffering. And basically avoidable suffering are the things that you could have some control over. You didn't ask Jesus about it. You made bad decisions. You weren't very mature. Those kinds of things are avoidable, right? And there's unavoidable, which comes down to, you know, when things are happening to family and friends, and you really are kind of powerless on it. And, you know, the first time I did the talk a year ago, my heart was really in that avoidable, because that had been a lot of my story. There was a lot of just stupid decisions I was still paying the price for and stuff, and I was coming out of a lot of that. And so I really didn't think about the talk I was going to do when I said I would do it. But a lot had changed in the last year, and the whole other side of it, the unavoidable, has been what I've been living under. I lost my brother at Christmas kind of unexpectedly. My grandson, who's 6 years old, has been going through a lot of health things. It's been very uncertain at times, lots of things going on with it. And then my oldest brother had a major surgery earlier in February and has had a series of complications. And every time you think he's going to get better, he just doesn't. And so I found out on Friday morning, I was supposed to be doing the talk Friday evening, that he had had some bad news come back on some stuff. Nothing that we know is going to lead to either direction, but it wasn't good news. And so I got that, and it really was tearing me up a bit. And so I have to do this talk a little bit later, and I know God's going to be with me. I'm not worried about that part. I just don't know how I'm going to get through it. Now back to the storms are brewing. So what's happened before boot camp, we had some hiccups with our normal planning that didn't go well. Once we got to camp, there were some hiccups. There was just a lot of frustrations. There were some things going on. And I just was chalking it up to just warfare, which it was. But when Bagger makes a statement in the movie, a few minutes later, there is a storm that comes in, a little bit of rain, but that's not the storm he's talking about. The storm he's talking about is what Juno's going to have to walk through to get to freedom on the other side, right? And so when that clip played, and I've seen that movie countless times, God kind of showed me what he'd been taking me through that weekend. So what had happened that weekend was I'd found out that stuff about my brother. And there's a lot more to it, but we're going to kind of run out of time. But I'd found out the stuff about my brother. I got up and did the talk, and I don't remember a lot of the talk because I had what I planned to talk about, and then there's actually what I talked about. So I don't really know what was all in there. But God helped me get through it. It was very, very difficult at times. My brothers helped me get through it. But when I came off the stage, my good friend and brother Robbie came up to me and he said, "Hey, God had a word for you that he wanted me to tell you, that you've always been loyal." And I snapped right at Robbie. I was like, if I'm so loyal, why did I let one brother down and I'm about ready to let the other brother down? Because I wasn't there for him. You know, did I talk to him enough about salvation? Do I know where they were in their salvation? And I mean, I was just, it was like, not angry at Robbie, just anger. And I went outside, you know, into a covenant of silence, and I walked for quite a while. And as I'm walking, God's starting to unpack some of that. And I get out there and he goes, "You know, that's an agreement, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do now." You know, that I've been living under this agreement. And, you know, walked, and God helped me kind of see that more clearly and kind of pray through a lot of that. But had all those other things not taken place, I wouldn't be at a place to be at that point to where God could reach me on that. The storm had to come for me to reap the benefits on the other side, to get freedom from that agreement that I had made that I'd really let my brother down. You know, and there was so much more in that weekend where God came after my heart as a result of it. And it was just so freeing that, you know, sometimes I'm not a guy, I work outside all day long and I hate storms, absolutely hate storms. But you know, without storms, how do we know to appreciate the times it's not storming and to live life, you know, through the midst of the next storm? And so what I'd encourage you this week is go out and first of all, lean into God and let him love your heart well, but love some others well this week and just reach out to them and say, "You know what? I've got your back and your Father has your back." We'll talk with you next week. We love you. Have a great week.
This is the Truth Network.